get your Bible and go to Romans 8 this morning. All right, question, as you have your finger there, have you ever given yourself permission to think and dream a dream? If resources were not an issue, what you might do? Have you ever given yourself permission to think and dream if resources were not an issue? How many of you, like me, are familiar with the phrase, dreaming is free? Just hold your finger in that thought for a moment, if you would. This past week, I had the privilege of taking our Indian friend, Yesupadam, to lunch. He is a humble and powerful apostle to India. You've heard the story of the untouchable that was shot, left on the side of the road for dead. And a missionary picked him up, brought him into his home, bandaged his wounds. I mean, just right according to script of the Good Samaritan. And he now has vocational training centers, a hospital, thousands of churches that he has started. But we were just conferring together, and he said, you know, thinking on the upcoming year, he said, I feel like I have the theme for the upcoming year for what they're called to do, conquering. And as I was thinking about that word, we easily understand the concept to be synonymous with many things. It could be to overcome something, to master something, to get a grip on, to gain mastery over something. Is there anything you would love to gain mastery over? You know, sometimes I think we talk about taking the nations, but dear Lord, can he be Lord of my fork? But anyway, you know, to rise above, to get control of, to subdue, to take possession of, to triumph over, to be victorious over, to subjugate, to occupy, to win, et cetera, et cetera. We could go on. The concept conqueror. In Romans 8, we know by the edict of Scripture that it declares that we are just that and even more than that based on our connection and relation to God. So, stepping back and contemplating the idea and concept of conquering, I don't know about you, but I think at face value, many hear that word and think of something macho, possibly. You know, conquer, conquering. I mean, it does have some teeth in it. There's some muscle there. And so, again, we may just automatically default to something macho. Maybe you even get tired at even the thought of it. Conquer, I'm just tired thinking about that concept. Maybe something we consider rough and tough, something Rocky-esque or Rambo-related. Maybe Napoleon comes to mind, or maybe you conjure up an image of a powerful army. Maybe your favorite athletic team that pummels their opponents comes to your mind. But, you know, whether overcoming bad habits, false mindsets, past injustices, pains, hurts, and setbacks, to taking new ground, taking new territory, setting new goals, new achievement, etc. To conquer is a Bible term and concept that we'll read about here shortly. And it's easy to ponder images that are beyond us, though, when you hear that term. It's easy to kind of inflate the real definition of what it is. Attributes we might feel are even somewhat intimidating. And so your average person doesn't consider themselves macho. Your average Christian doesn't consider themselves Hercules or Herculean in that way. We leave that to the movies. But what if our concepts are wrong? What if our definitions are wrong? What if Christians have sold themselves short? And I certainly think the enemy works overtime to try to ensure just that. So in spite of it, God does give an identity to us, whether we think or feel it is fitting or not. But instead of throwing away his identity label for us, maybe we should unpack it and research it first. But let me ask the question, are you uncomfortable with the label conqueror? is it kind of like, oh, that's kind of corny, you know, are you uncomfortable with that label? Is it too lofty? Is it a little macho? Is it too intimidating? Is it too unrealistic? Is it too beyond us? Let's go to Romans 8, and we're going to read this because context rules. Context rules the day. And we know that Romans 8 declares us to be conquerors and even more than conquerors, but we want to frame and read and include the verses that precede that statement and the verses that follow after that statement. And I don't know anyone who doesn't want to overcome, but let's take away the unnecessary intimidation in case it does in fact exist. So Romans 8, we'll jump into verse 28. And again, context rules. Can we say that together? Context rules. So we know, y'all know where the verse that's going to be extracted here in a moment. But I want you to take a glance at what envelops that statement that we're going to land on. There's a setting, there's a framing of that statement that many of us have learned and have memorized and have possibly confessed over our own lives. But again, starting in verse 28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Verse 31, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37, no, and all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You we have it as the record whereby to believe on in view of identity, in view of every practice of life. We thank You. Speak to our hearts. Change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the takeaway. The concept of conquering is totally shrouded in this text on every side with the love of God. The concept of conquering, it's enveloped on every side in this text with the principle and the truth of the love of God. The context is inescapable. So we don't just take a isolated scripture out of its context, think on it, read it, and then get intimidated by it and go, well, I don't know that I'm that. I feel anything but. But again, there's a setting. It's not some macho thing we do. The overarching ingredient and theme that enables the believer to conquer is the unmistakable, unconditional, unlimited love of God. Now, I can sign up for that. How about you? Who can sign up for some of that? Amen. Again, just to bring some perspective to the table. Look again at verse 35. Who shall separate us from what? From what? That's the preceding verse leading into verse 36. Who, it's a rhetorical question. Of course, God knows the answer. Who or what can separate us from the love of God? Trouble? You ever had a little trouble? Can't separate you. Hardship? Had any of that? It doesn't separate you. Persecution, danger, etc., etc. You fill in the blank. We've all experienced that, but it didn't separate us. It may have been experiential, but it didn't separate us. Again, listen, in that very verse, that mentions that being more than conquerors is itself in the context of God's love. God, that is the underpinning. Can you say God's love? God's love. Verse 37, after relaying typical challenges, here Paul says, no, in all these things, we, and here comes the macho Rambo, you know, and again, this is the verse we just pull out, but it says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who what? Through him who what? Love. There's that word love again. It was even, love was a theme even in our worship this morning. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So that puts a little onus on God, does it not? It puts some of the power boost on the Lord. So there it is, through him who loved us. Yes, that's true, but it's through him who loved us. Yes, that's his identity for us, but it's through him who loved us. Yes, that's his pronouncement. It feels a little lofty, but it's through him who loved us. That's the missing link, not some monkey, hello. That's the missing link. The love of God, the love of God, the love of God makes possible. The love of God makes all things possible, doable, and attainable. The love of God is powerful and produces what we can't do on a human level. So the love of God precedes the statement of being more than a conqueror, and then the actual statement includes the context of the love of God. And then the following verses also includes the grand, unmistakable theme of the love of God. So it's not just something, quote, sandwiched. It's also in the middle of the sandwich. It's the bread, it's the meat, it's the other piece of bread. It's chock-a-block full, as we say. But again, even the following verses, 38 through 39, read, "For I am convinced," said Paul. In other words, it's not theory, but actual. I am convinced. In other words, this is not just something I read about. I have lived this. Paul was in danger. Paul was in peril. He did have hardships. He did have fears within. He did have fears without. He was abandoned by his own countrymen. He was always running from the persecution and the sword of the Jews. He was always fighting heresy. It was such an insurmountable job. When he listed all that he went through physically that could snuff out his life, he said, even on top of that, I have the daily burden of the churches. What if they go off roading in error, which they did? What if they go off here in carnality, which they did? What if they have Judaizers that sneak in among them and try to say that apart from the law of Moses, you can't truly be righteous before God? And he did. It was oncoming onslaught all the time. So Paul could say with a true head of steam, I am convinced. I know this. I am convinced it's actual. That neither death, I believe he experienced that, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, that's all there is, by the way, will be able to separate us from what? The love of God that is in Christ Jesus. In that context, upon that foundation, upon that enveloping reality, upon that context, preceding, in the scripture and then following. In that setting, in that framework, in that understanding, in that reality, in that truth, then therefore, ... we are more than conquerors. The reality of the heavy lifting of his cross, what he does for us, and his onward affection for us, his holy affection for us that's so real, propels and motivates us to do things we don't normally do. What encourages you to charge the hill, a bad report or a good report? Most people with the human makeup, it's a good report. Interestingly, it's a good report. It's the hope of something that can happen. Well, the love of God does that. The spies that brought back the wrong report, they weren't rooted in a true foundation. The two that did could have what they saw because there was something outside of them that was more real than just the mere temporary challenge before them. So what we face going forward, there's a greater reality that actually causes it to be real that we can wear the label of conqueror. It's like he's exaggerating. Not conquerors, yea, even more than. The love of God produces that. The love of God. So love, 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 love. The love of God, it's everywhere. Love before the pronouncement, love in the pronouncement, love following the pronouncement. What makes us able to overcome in life is not macho effort. What makes us able to conquer in life is the love of God we understand, the love of God we comprehend, the love of God we embrace. It does something in our whole inner constitution. But let me qualify, the unmistakable, unconditional, unlimited love of God. Unconditional, unlimited. Unconditional, unlimited. Unconditional, unlimited. I actually entitled today's message, Unconditional and Unlimited. Receiving his holy affection for you. We can foo-foo that to something on a Hallmark card, or we can let it be a force that propels us forward. There are foes, there are phobias, there are enemies, there are challenges that if we wouldn't be too smart for God, if we could embrace this, would help us push those things back. The Bible says perfect love does what? Many times we try to hit fear head on, where God's just going, will you receive my love? Will you believe it? Will you embrace it? Fear hath to do with torment, punishment. But my love is the overarching theme that drives back your enemy. So when we lean into that versus pushing back on the other, it causes us to do what we cannot do in and of ourselves. And if that's true, what might we do? Remember at the beginning I asked, if resources were not an issue, how might you dream? How might I dream? Again, dreaming is free, remember. And I wasn't referring to money, but to heaven's resources, whatever the need. If resources were not an issue, how might we dream? Just stop before I go forward and just ponder that a moment. It can involve something material, but it's more comprehensive than that. If resources were not an issue, how might we think? How might we dream? What could we do? Question in context of conquering. Does God's love run out? No. Is it limited? Kind of the mindset, there's only so much and only on certain occasions, you know, like rationing. It doesn't run out. It's unconditional and unlimited. God's love is mentioned over and over again. Listen, trust in God's love and you will find yourself a conqueror, yea, more than a conqueror. So you're not trying to be something apart from God. Someone asked this prophetic minister, Rick Joyner, years ago, what does it take to be a prophet? He goes, if I woke up every day and thought about what it was to be a prophet, I would disqualify from being a prophet. I don't wake up in the morning and go, what do I do as a prophet? I wake up in the morning and go, God, where are you? God, where are you? Where's God? Where's your love today? Bible says your mercies are brand new every day. He's not running after a label. He's running after God. But through running after God and bumping into the reality of what God gives and his unlimited, unconditional grace, mercy, and love, then there's the wherewithal to do that. But you're not mindful of that. You don't have to be mindful of being a conqueror. Certainly don't have to be mindful of being more than a conqueror. That sounds so lofty. More than a conqueror. You know, muscles on your muscles. Again, Rambo, Interstate, you know. It sounds lofty. It could be a little intimidating. Understand, we don't have to be mindful of that. Be mindful of God's love and you'll walk in that identity that he's declared. And that's why Paul wasn't being lofty when he goes, I'm convinced of this. That neither height nor depth nor love nor or dangers, rather peril, can separate us. I am convinced. I've been there and I've done that. And he was always there. And he was always there. He's speaking out of his experience. He's speaking as one who was raised from the dead, I believe. If you read 2 Corinthians 1 about the sentence of death, we always carried around in our body. But this happens so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He was stoned many times. He was beaten with rods many times. He was shipwrecked. He was abused. He was falsely imprisoned, et cetera, et cetera. A normal person, that would be the end of them. But there was a force that propelled. He had to go back to the source, go back to the fountain and download, if God be for me. That's why he wrote this. If God be for me, who can be against me? Who would dare lay any charge against God's elect? He was thinking about himself and he was thinking about God's inheritance, the people of God. Who would dare lay any charge? I mean, you think about your adversary who accuses how often? Night and day. That means we have to have the reality of the Word of God quicker than that and dwell on that so that it's real, the Word made flesh. But he said, who would lay any charge? That certainly includes the enemy of our soul. Who would lay any charge? That's why Paul was trying to get condemnation off people, not put condemnation on people. Therefore, there is now what? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's your enemy that's trying to put it on. Jesus died to get it off. And I'm writing these letters to you so that you can be connected to the life in the Spirit where you download the knowledge of that great love for you so that you can do the thing God's called you to do. And it'll actually turn out to be an exploit of sorts because you couldn't do it in your own strength. Only the love of God and the power of God could propel you to do such a thing. Only the power of God, the knowledge of the love of God, that he's going to finish what he started, enabled Paul to go the distance. That's when the prophet Agabus took his belt and said, I see the man who wears this is going to suffer much mistreatment. He goes, put your belt away. I'm not only prepared to suffer for this gospel, I'm prepared to die. I know the end of the story. And the love of God far eclipses whatever I'm going to go through. I am not intimidated. And he wasn't just some Hulk. He was unimpressive physically from what his historians say. But it's just like, that can't compare. These present temporary afflictions cannot compare to the glory to be revealed. Paul saw something greater and loftier. So when they were beating him, he didn't like it. It wasn't like, yeah, hit me again. You know, Clint Eastwood, hit me again. Yeah, you know. No, he didn't like it. It hurt. But he saw something bigger. These present temporary afflictions, and I mean, he was even dumbing that down. Temporary, I mean, when someone beats you, temporary affliction. It cannot compare to the glory to be revealed. He had a vision of something grander. He had tasted this love of God that was unconditional and unlimited. In other words, it won't run out. It will not fail you. The unfailing love of God means just that. You'll fail you, and we will fail one another. You will fail you, we will fail one another, but we don't fail God. That's why when we've given up on ourselves, God's still there. When are you going to get up? When are you going to get up? When are you going to get up? I failed. I know. I can handle it. When are you going to get up? My love's bigger. It's unlimited. You've had enough of me by now. Oh, I know you've had, you're done with me now. My love is inexhaustible. But I would be done with me. I know, because you're human and your brain won't let you think but so far. You can't fathom it. Well, then that's good too. That's just too good to be true. Called the gospel, correct. I've got more. Grow in the knowledge of who I am to you and what I have for you. Unconditional, unlimited. Unconditional, unlimited. So you don't have to set out to be some he-man or she, whatever. You do the metaphor. But at any rate, you focus on God, what he has for you. And out of that setting, out of that context, you do stuff you would normally do. You withstand persecution. You push through. You overcome. You forgive. You take risk. You step out because of a father who just won't quit due to love for us. And when the nickel drops, we find motivation. And it finally dawns on us, this is real. Then perfect love can cast out fear. It's like, this thing is real, but he's bigger. He's bigger. And in 2 Corinthians, when Paul had to get to the point where he had no other resources, he said, I had to get to the point. I couldn't rely on myself. I had to rely on God. There are no other props. There's no other catch net. Then it's God or nothing. In the words of the theologian Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. I mean, it's like, God, you either come through or you... But then when you've been there and realized that he does, then we grow in that knowledge. We grow in that knowledge. We grow in that knowledge, and it produces more, and it produces more, and it produces more. Who would think love would be in the recipe to overcoming? When you think about, I'm more than a conqueror. How do you do it? Love. I mean, you don't, it's not, you know, we think of it in human terms that are fallen and limited. How do you overcome? Love. How do you conquer? There's an army before me. Love, not mine, but his. His for me. His for the situation. Unlimited. Unexhaustible. Unconditional. When you know it, watch your security rise. When you believe it, watch your confidence rise. When you believe it, watch your insecurities and doubts shrink. How many of y'all like messages on faith and what faith does for us? But even faith, Galatians 5, 6 says, faith works how? It's not a trick question. Faith works by love. All right, I challenge everyone, read Galatians today. That's your homework. Faith works by love. Faith works, so it's not faith. It's certainly not my faith. But faith, in order to be genuine biblical faith, it works by love. Don't you remember in Corinthians, though, I have the faith to move mountains but have not love? Faith works by love. Biblical faith, Galatians 5, 6. Faith works. The love of God enables us to do what we do. Not jerking ourselves up by our bootstraps. And as you've heard us say before, many times those that are strong in themselves are in fact weak in God. But when you're weak in God, when you're weak in yourself, you can be strong in God. You're at a good point to be useful to the master for any good work. I told you of the real estate agent who came into my mother's den years ago, and she said, I'm just, she came in and she was just coming undone. She goes, everything's just coming apart. My mother said, wonderful. She goes, what are you talking about? She goes, now God, she was an unbeliever. Now God can work in your life. Now God can begin afresh. You've come to the end of self. Now watch what God will do. So it's not jerking ourselves up by our bootstraps. The love of God motivates. The love of God inspires. The love of God empowers. It strengthens. It gives confidence. It swallows up doubt and fear. It produces vision, gives us possibility, allows us to dream, grants us boldness over our enemy, inspires risk, pushes us forward, helps us begin again, gets us back up. It puts hope in the heart, enables us to forgive, keeps us from being small-minded and small-hearted, motivates us to be generous, gives courage to smile at the future, gives us joy, grants us acceptance, identity, and true muscle. No one can charge the hill with a sick heart, but the love of God swallows all that, heals all that, and then empowers. So, again, the question, are we conquerors today? How many are conquerors today? Raise your hand. And again, you're like, I don't like that label. Come on, how many conquerors in the house? I don't feel. How many that are more than conquerors? Again, you're not looking at yourself, not looking at your resources, lack thereof, the day you just came off screaming babies this morning, whatever. But what qualifies you for that? Love of God. That's why that text was shrouded and enveloped, preceding that statement, in the statement, and immediately following the statement. There was context. It's not a macho concept. It is not a macho concept. It's a God concept rooted in God, go figure. It's a God thing. Are we conquerors? Bible says more than. Thank God context rules. It's all the byproduct of the unconditional, unlimited love of our Heavenly Father. It doesn't run out. We run out in our understanding. You know, it's like a spigot. You turn the spigot on, the water runs. What if in your limited mindset you say, I just don't know how much longer this water can run. So you know what you do? You turn it off. That's the way we are with God's love. I just don't know how much He really has. So we cut it off in our understanding. God doesn't cut it. The source is unlimited, inexhaustible. It's unconditional. But in our mindset, ironically enough, we cut. I just don't know how much is left. It's like there's been a lot depleted, and then we turn it off. God didn't. We turn it off, you see. He's got plenty, the unlimited love of a Heavenly Father. And if we can say yes today to God's love, then we have said yes to conquering. If we say yes today to God's love, if we say yes today to God's love for us, if we say yes today to God's love, we have likewise said yes to conquering. Whatever it is coming up at the end of your summer, whatever it is approaching in the fall, whatever you're dealing with today, whatever you dealt with last night, whatever you got to step into tomorrow, we say yes to God's love, we've said yes to conquering. And not barely, but more than. More than. If we focus on God and His unlimited, unconditional package and grace for us, we'll find ourselves doing that. And then just enjoy the spoils. All due to His grace and favor and help. Do you believe that? Let's pray. As we pray, what are your areas to subdue, to overcome, to pursue, to take possession of? The love of God will take you there. Nothing in and of yourself, as Paul said. We learn to rely on God. The love of God will take you there. We want to conquer. We want to overcome. It's foreboding left to ourselves. What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, the sword? No, no. And all these things were more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, present the future nor powers, height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from this love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, let the nickel drop. May we cease being intimidated. May we cease being fearful. May we cease in any self-belittlement. May we cease in declaring in our thinking and heart, that's impossible, that's too big. And Father, may we turn our attention and our awareness to this overriding theme of your love that carried Paul all the way through and will carry us all the way through. So enlarge our understanding, enlarge our comprehension. And Lord, we just trust you that based on what we read, we'll find ourselves conquering as a byproduct. As a byproduct, because we are so secure, lifted, filled, empowered. Perfect love cast out all fear. The love of the Father. Unconditional and unlimited. Unconditional and unlimited. Just ponder that a moment.